From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. Today on the program, we're going to be talking about clean energy. Governor Pritzker is expected to sign this morning. Earlier, I said in the billboard he had signed it. In fact, the news conference has been going on for more than an hour. A lot of people are getting to talk at this news conference. He has not yet actually signed the legislation, but he is expected to sign it this morning to transition Illinois away from fossil fuel power sources toward renewable energy by the year 2050. Environmental activists say this is an important step forward. A lot of businesses are worried about cost increases. We're going to be diving into what this legislation does later in the program. But first, this fall semester, some college sophomores are setting foot on campus for the first time in their college careers. While the pandemic is still very much with us, classrooms are once again filling with students, but this time they're masked in order to pursue their higher education goals. On today's show, we'll be speaking with two college presidents, both from small liberal arts schools in the state. Later, we'll hear from Philip Ryken, the president of Wheaton College outside Chicago. But first, we're going to the western part of Illinois, to Knox College in Galesburg. This fall, the small liberal arts college welcomed a new president, Andrew McGadney. He comes to Galesburg from Maine, where he was vice president and dean of student advancement at Colby College. He's a native of Connecticut and a graduate of Wesleyan University. He has a doctorate from Columbia. President McGadney is the first person of color to serve as president of Knox College in the school's 185-year history. President McGadney, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, Brian. It's a pleasure to be here.
And listeners, as ever, we invite you to join our conversation. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. So, President McGadney, I want to ask first, what drew you to take this position at Knox? I understand you visited Galesburg in the middle of winter in a pandemic. Why did this seem appealing to you?
Exactly, Brian. Thanks for the question. Well, you mentioned in my background that I attended Wesleyan, which is a small liberal arts college. And a lot of my experience has been around great small liberal arts colleges. I know the value that that can happen with great students interacting with very interesting and thoughtful professors. And so when I learned about Knox College and the opportunity here, I was immediately drawn to it. And I will tell you, walking in Galesburg during the winter, the warmth of the community really, really shined through. That was one of the key aspects that kind of drew me in. And then once you started to engage with the members of the community and the members of the Knox community, I saw firsthand the commitment not only to this place, but to the mission of a liberal arts institution. And those are kinds of the things that really inspired me and wanted me to dive deeper.
So let's talk about how the pandemic is playing out in Galesburg at Knox College. Are there concerns there about the Delta variant? And how do you ensure students and faculty are safe on a campus that's primarily residential and where in-person, small class, that's all part of the experience, right? That's the reason people come to a smaller school like that.
That's exactly right. I mean, to be perfectly honest, Brian, I think we do our best work in person. We do our learning best in small environments, you know, truly elbow to elbow. And you can imagine when you're thinking about a COVID epidemic, not being able to do that, I think has threatened many colleges and colleges and universities across the campus, across the country. From my perspective, job number one is to really ensure a safe environment for our entire community. And so we've worked with a very kind of focused effort on a three-pronged approach in the way that we bring our students and faculty back. Sounds pretty basic, but there are the things that we've been following from science and research: vaccinations, testing, and masking. So we've required our students, faculty, and staff to be vaccinated, obviously with some exemptions for religious and medical requirements or concerns. A regular testing policy. We're requiring all of our students that are coming back to campus to be tested. And we're wearing masks indoors in the classroom. So with those three things, we're constantly monitoring what's happening on the state and federal level. We're also engaged with experts at other institutions. And we're being willing and able to be flexible in what we do and how we do it, all with the focus on keeping our community safe and the community around us safe, our Knox community, Galesburg, et cetera.
Can you share the percentage of students and staff that are vaccinated?
So it's a high rate right now. I know our student rate is over 95%. We're tracking down our faculty rate is really high. Our staff rate is improving. We're working on a case-by-case basis. But when you're, you know, over 80% and in some cases 90%+, we're feeling really good about this. But at the same time, we're working to ensure that we try to get 100% all across the board and all of those different constituencies. And ultimately, this is a case-by-case process. We're having individual conversations with individuals with the mindset that our primary goal here is safety for all.
And I wonder if there have been any enforcement challenges, right? People, you know, we've seen in other institutions protests against masking and vaccine requirements and so forth. Has that been a challenge you've had to deal with at Knox?
No, I would say, you know, like any difficult conversation, people are coming to these types of scenarios with their own personal beliefs, concerns, challenges that they may face. We have some of that. But at the end of the day, you know, we're leading with our values and our mission to do our best work, which is teaching and learning and together. And if we continue to keep that at the forefront, all of the other smaller, what I call smaller, because these are individual conversations, will still happen. But we're trying to ensure that we're doing the right thing by our community, which is keeping us safe, helping us to have a really powerful liberal arts education so that our students can go out and truly change the world.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Andrew McAdney, who's the president of Knox College. He's new in that position. Knox is a small liberal arts institution in Galesburg, Illinois. And you're invited to join our conversation as ever. 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. I want to ask, in other parts of the country, we've seen smaller liberal arts colleges facing challenges. Some have closed. Even McMurray College here in Illinois closed down within the last year or two. How is Knox doing financially, and has the pandemic presented additional challenges around that?
Thank you, Brian. Knox is strong. I'm delighted to be in a position to lead a small liberal arts college that's thriving. Do we have challenges? You know, yes, this is a very competitive higher education landscape. But from my perspective, the value proposition of a liberal arts education has never been in greater need for our country. To teach students to challenge one another, to ask critical questions, to think critically, to be able to speak and write effectively, has never been in a greater need than it is today. And so from a financial perspective, we're strong. We're focusing on, you know, how do we encourage and create a stronger demand for Knox education? And we're able to do that. And we're continuing to do that by our outreach, not just in the state of Illinois, but looking across the entire country. And then also globally, you know, Knox has been really, really strong with our international market. And we're still working diligently to ensure that we are able to bring all of those international students back here. We're trying to ensure that we're able to educate the brightest minds from across the world. I know of many colleges in the country that have closed or have merged. One of the things that we're talking about, not only internally, but with our board, is how do we kind of put this urgency around the need of what we offer. We have great faculty, we have great facilities, awesome students. This is a wonderful place for students to learn and grow, and we're trying to get that message out as aggressively as we can.
You know, there are people out there who are predicting major disruptions in higher education following the pandemic. I mean, we certainly saw them during the pandemic and a big move to online distribution of classes at some institutions. There's one vision that has a handful of massive elite institutions sort of monopolizing higher education by partnering with some of the big tech companies. Whether you buy that particular vision or not, do you think the pandemic has had to force schools like Knox to sort of assess their strategic vision and how they plan to move forward?
Well, I think, you know, we have been better off not having a pandemic like COVID-19. Yes. But the thing that I would argue is that institutions of higher learning need to be more innovative. They need to be more creative. We've got families that are asking the right questions that leaders within higher ed need to address. Questions around the return on investment. You know, what can a Knox education do for my son, daughter, loved one? And we're in the position to say, you choose a school like Knox because by coming here, our students will be immersed in incredible learning, wonderful opportunities in the classroom and outside the classroom, that when they leave, they can truly have postgraduate success. And when you're starting to see young minds and young people going out and truly changing the world, you know that you're doing all those right things. But from my standpoint, we need to double down on our pace. We need to be more aggressive. You need to be thinking about partnerships in different ways. We need to think differently about how we communicate and partner with our Galesburg city and our community, thinking of and creating ways for our students to have incredible experiences, whether it's research opportunities, you know, civic engagement opportunities, both global and domestic. All of these things we need to double down on and be more aggressive than we have in the past. Some institutions are doing that because of the pandemic. I would argue we need to be doing this on a day in, a day out basis. And one of the things I'm excited about the leadership at Knox is not only is our board ready to move and to move with pace and understand the importance of growth, that's something that I believe in. I'm looking forward to do. I see lots of partnerships on our campus and around the country that are supportive of that type of mindset.
Andrew McGadney is, I believe, the 20th president of Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois. President McGadney, thank you for being with us today on the 21st.
My pleasure, Brian. Thank you.
And we are joined now by another president of a small liberal arts college in Illinois, and that is Philip Reichen, the president of Wheaton College, which is in the western suburbs of Chicago. President Reichen, welcome to you to the 21st. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much. And appropriate for Wheaton to be on the heels of Knox because we were both founded by the same abolitionist leader, Jonathan Blanchard.
Sure. And I should mention, I sort of skipped over your background here. You're a theologian, a Presbyterian minister, a graduate of Wheaton yourself. You also have a Master of Divinity degree from Westminster Theological Seminary in 1992 and a Doctor of Philosophy degree in Historical Theology from University of Oxford. Listeners, as ever, 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. So, President Reichen, how has the transition back to in-person learning been going at Wheaton?
Yeah, it's, you know, on the one hand, it's been amazing to have our students back on campus with so many more opportunities than we had last year, particularly for us, very important to be able to have shared chapel worship together. And it's been a vibrant time on campus. However, we've had a lot more COVID conversations than we ever wanted to have. And, you know, things were looking so promising for the state of Illinois early in the summer. It's been more challenging as we've turned into August and September. So my leadership team is spending a lot more time on COVID decision-making than we want to, but we're persevering.
I noticed in the FAQ for Wheaton College, the COVID-19 FAQ, it really sort of emphasized you're trying to do as many pre-pandemic practices as possible, you know, full capacity classes and encouraging students to attend local churches in person and to pursue, you know, off-campus internships or work or whatever it might be, volunteering as much as they can. You are following the mask mandate, but can you talk about, is there a unique challenge with, I mean, I've seen surveys that show that evangelicals are less significantly less likely to say, that they want to get the vaccine, right? I think it was 14% of American adults say they'll never get it. 22% of evangelicals had said they never would. That was a Kaiser survey I saw from June. Has that been a challenge at Wheaton?
Yeah, I don't know that it's been more acute at Wheaton than at other campuses in the state of Illinois. And I actually haven't looked recently at the overall vaccination numbers statewide. But about 80% of our students are vaccinated, close to 85% of our faculty and staff are. So we have been very clear in encouraging vaccination. And of course, our following state of Illinois, which are also CDC guidelines in terms of testing for unvaccinated persons. I'll just say, I think we see in our community the same tension points that we see many places in our culture. People feel very strongly about vaccination, non-vaccination, masking, non-masking. I said to our student body at the beginning of the school year, I needed to talk with them publicly about some of the COVID protocols. And I said, all of that, that's none of that, what I've just said is the hard part. Although it sounds like the hard part when we're telling you to mask indoors and so forth. The hard part is actually loving one another through our differences. And that is definitely a challenge on our campus and one we're leaning into.
All right, we need to take a quick break here. We're going to continue our conversation with Philip Reichen, the president of Wheaton College, when we come back. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us. You're listening to The 21st. More to come after a short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, a little bit later, we're going to have that conversation on the big green energy legislation that Governor Pritzker did, in fact, sign into law just a few minutes ago in Chicago. But first, we are continuing our conversation with Philip Reichen, who is the president of Wheaton College in the suburbs of Chicago. Earlier, we had spoken with the president of Knox College in Galesburg. We're talking to two heads of smaller liberal arts higher education institutions in Illinois today about their return to school and other issues this year. I want to just stick with you on one more question about this idea of, of vaccination, President Reichen. And I wonder, and I sort of tripped on my words earlier. I just want to be clear in what I was trying to say. There was a Kaiser survey in June that found that 14% of American adults say they would never get the vaccine under any circumstances. For evangelicals, that number was 22%. As you pointed out, your vaccination rate among students, 78%, 80% among staff, that is higher than the Illinois vaccination rate at large. So it does not seem to be necessarily applying to the students and staff at your university. But what do you make of the broader orientation among evangelicals that there is greater resistance to this vaccine? I mean, I've heard some Christian leaders say, taking the vaccine is an act of charity toward others. I just wonder what your perspective is on that.
Well, we certainly believe that taking the vaccine is an act of charity, and we've emphasized that. And that's really consistent with Christian thought throughout history in times of pandemic, that our concern for our neighbor needs to be primary and have a priority. So there are a lot of different varieties of evangelicals. I certainly can't speak for all of them. One thing I will say is that one thing I do think hindered the evangelical receptivity to just the government mandates around COVID-19 generally is in some cases there were overreaches by governments putting more restrictions on churches than other organizations. And that played very badly in the evangelical community. I think that's one thing that's hindered things. I'll just also say that what we read, who we listen to is really important and enlightening. And there's a lot of tribalism within evangelicalism as there is within our culture. I think one of the benefits of being on a campus like Wheaton College, which is a broadly evangelical institution, we have Christians here from a lot of different evangelical traditions, is we really have an opportunity to learn from one another, and we gain clarity and insight and strength from those different evangelical perspectives.
On that note, one of your goals as president has been to create a more diverse campus community. How are you approaching that?
Yeah, just in all kinds of ways. For us, we would think of diversity in a bunch of different areas. I mean, one is one I've already mentioned, denominational diversity. Certainly, growing ethnic and cultural diversity has been a significant part of Wheaton's experience in the last 10 or 20 years. We've seen the number of students of color on campus, for example, grow from 15% to 30% of our student population. That's just a sort of external measure. One thing that's important to us is we have a campus-wide strategic diversity plan that engages every department, not just every division, but every department on campus, asking how can we be a more diverse, more unified, more inclusive, more equitable campus community. And that it's really a campus-wide buy-in to be involved in what we call deepening ethnic diversity. And I'll just also say international is a key part of that as well. Typically 10% of our incoming students are from international backgrounds. That's in our undergraduate population. So that's another dimension. It's not just diversity in a North American context, but also in a global context. Just also say it's been encouraging for us. Over the last decade, we are hiring a more diverse faculty than we are retiring. That's a slow and steady process. It's a long-term change. All of that said, we've got all kinds of challenges on our campus, as people do everywhere. The more diverse your community becomes, sometimes the more challenging conversations you need to have. So it's a work in progress for us, but we see it as really part of our historic mission going all the way back to 1860, when African-American as well as Caucasian students were welcome to our campus, when women as well as men were welcome to our campus. We're trying to live into that legacy, which we think we have biblical reasons to pursue as well.
Sure. And I mean, you have diverse constituencies, right? You have students you're trying to attract who are maybe the younger people are more open to all different kinds of diversity and different kinds of people. You also have donors and alumni you have to try and keep happy. And on that point, I saw that Julie Rogers is back in the news. This was an openly gay chaplain who has a new book about her experience in conversion therapy. But she was hired as a chaplain at Wheaton and says she was sort of resigned under pressure. And her conclusion was LGBT people are not wanted at Wheaton, not if word gets out to the donors. That was a quote she had in Time magazine. I wonder how you respond to that.
I'll just say, thank you for that question. You know, Wheaton College has a clear and well-established view of sexual ethics that's present in our campus community covenant. We're very clear about that. And it's a call for all persons to practice sexual chastity. And from time to time, there are people who feel that this kind of community, which is a voluntary community, is not the right place for them with their convictions and practices. And we respect the right of people to make those choices.
Last thing I want to ask you about, and I posed a similar question to the president of Knox College as well. There are people who are predicting major disruptions in higher education, right? There's one vision that has a handful of massive elite institutions moving online and sort of monopolizing higher ed along with the tech companies. Setting aside that particular vision, whether you buy that or not, how has the pandemic affected strategic vision at schools like Wheaton? And maybe you have a different perspective on this because you're a Christian liberal arts college, right?
Yeah, I'll just say that, you know, I think certainly the pandemic has affected all of us. And I think Wheaton is not atypical in experiencing just a greater degree of innovation in a very short period of time and tremendous flexibility on the part of our faculty, particularly with different learning modalities. But all of that said, you know, we've been hearing predictions like that for at least a decade. And we do see some changes and, you know, so some closures and mergers, but nothing like the dramatic overhaul of the entire educational landscape that some have been predicting. I think there's a lot of room in higher education for diverse institutions, and you know, religious diversity is part of that, but different missions, liberal arts, more vocational, large, small, private, public. We're very blessed in the United States to have a tremendous variety of different institutions. Our conviction is that if you want to develop leaders for the next generation, they are best developed in a context where people can live, study, learn, worship, play together. And you have a life-on-life contact, preferably in smaller classes. We think the kind of education that we provide in a liberal arts tradition that goes all the way back to the ancient Greeks and to the early church has demonstrated over millennia its effectiveness at producing leaders who really make a difference in the world. And we do not see a fundamental change to that model of education. There may be schools that pursue other paths in the diversity of higher education in the United States, but we believe there will always be a place for the kind of residential liberal arts and, in our case, Christ-centered education that we provide.
Philip Reichen is the president of Wheaton College. President Reichen, good to speak with you today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Brian.